Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, and continuing the fun with our man Greg Wyshynski, who joins us now, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Greg, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. I published the quarter season look at my bold predictions from the preseason. And only a couple of them are stone cold turds. Most of them are still in play. I regret to inform everyone that Jack Hughes will not play 82 games this season. But a lot of the other predictions that are on ESPN.com right now are pretty good.
Well, the one you have for the Nashville Predators as we sit is correct at this point. Andrew Brunette keeps his job. We kind of wondered after Sweden, you know, in the performance there, even though they won one game, what might happen. Barry Trotz is going to join our afternoon show at 4 o'clock today, so I'm curious to hear what he's going to say. But so far, Bruno is still the head coach of the Predators, and it feels like Barry, as we've talked about, is going to continue to be patient.
Some votes of confidence. I saw the video that Barry did with Kyle Dubas, his counterpart in Pittsburgh, when they were in Sweden, and kind of indicated that Brunette's sort of part of the, I don't know if the solution is the right word, but part of what they're trying to do in Nashville. But again, like we talked about before, man, whether you believe that this team can still have enough runway to turn things around and Brunette's the guy to do it, or whether you believe it's a lost season, I still think it just makes too much sense to just keep the guy around, because otherwise you're paying him not to coach. You're paying him to sit on the sidelines while someone else takes the reins of what's already a lost season. Better to have him just coach out the string, make a decision in the off season to go in a different direction. The only, like we talked about, I think it was last week, I mean, the only reason you might want to make a change is if you believe that Carl Taylor is the guy to go to down in the AHL, and you want to give him maybe a bit of runway to figure out the NHL as a head coach and get to know the roster. Like if that's the decision, then it makes a little bit more sense. But if it's just, you know, we don't think we've got it this year, and I just don't think firing the coach is really going to turn things around.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have been on the you can't change all the players, so you change the coach train. I mean, that's kind of where I've gotten to. But I have also prefaced it, as I think I have with you, of I know it's not all Andrew Brunette's fault, and Andrew Brunette's a good coach. Is he the right coach for this team? Barry's built the roster, so he has, you know, obviously some culpability here as well. But they're not a Pete DeBoer away from winning the Stanley Cup either. I think I know that. So, I mean, if they made the move and it wasn't Carl Taylor and it was Pete DeBoer or Peter Laviolette or whoever, or Barry Trotz, I still don't think they're that move away from going and maybe even making the playoffs. So, therefore, I can understand the logic of why Barry's standing pat, but I also understand the alternative at the same time.
You know who I'd love to be is Pete DeBoer. Like, this guy gets run out of Dallas because he can't win the big game and get them to play for a Stanley Cup. He throws his goalie under the bus. And so it's basically, we can't have you come back to the team because our franchise goalie was basically called out by you after losing a playoff series. And yet every single team that's off to a bad start is putting Pete DeBoer's name out there as maybe being the guy that can turn it around. It's pretty amazing. But what you said about Nashville is, I think, what's being said in a lot of places. Like, you talked to somebody in Toronto about, you know, the possibility of Craig Berube taking the fall for this Leafs team not being any good. And then they think about bringing in, you know, Pete DeBoer to coach a team. And ultimately, it's kind of, well, this team's just not good enough. It doesn't matter if you bring in Pete DeBoer. They're not all of a sudden going to become a conference finalist because Pete DeBoer is behind the bench. And I think that's the same thing with Nashville, the same thing with Toronto. I think in some ways it's the same thing with Edmonton, even though they've been to the conference final in consecutive seasons and won it. There's a lot of teams that have some significant flaws that aren't going to be fixed by bringing in an accomplished coach.
Greg, what metric do you use to determine who's the worst team in hockey?
Points percentage. I think right now Calgary, even with their big win last night, that they can feel pretty good about is demonstrably the worst team in hockey. I'd go points percentage, but then let's also back it up with some analytics. You know, where are they in expected goals? Where are they in expected goals against? If the standings tell you that they stink, and then the underlying numbers tell you, yeah, they actually really stink, then they're just a bad hockey team. So that's kind of the math I use on trying to figure out who is really the stinkers in this league.
How much do you put into goals scored, goals allowed, and all that? Because as a football guy from where I came from, I always look at that, you know, because you're giving up a lot. But again, you could score some. I don't see how that translates into hockey in your mind.
Well, it's a good question because, like I said, I trust the analytics more than I do the actual numbers in that case. Like, I got to know that you're doing the things that you need to do in order to score or in order to prevent a goal. Because in hockey, as I think you were kind of indicating in the differences between the sports, there's so many variables that go into, you know, whether a team is successful or not. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just bad puck luck. It's pucks going off of, you know, the goalpost. It's a bunch of guys skating around on Ginzu knives on a slick surface, and you never know right. What's going to happen. I mean, there are so many variables that go into whether or not a team scores a goal or prevents a goal. But we have the data to learn how many shot attempts they have versus how many they give up, to learn where the shots are coming from, to learn the quality of those chances, either offensively or defensively. There, we've gotten to the point where we can kind of glean whether a team is doing the things they need to do to succeed or if they're just porous. And I'll give you an example. Like, the Anaheim Ducks right now are great. Like, they're an offensive steamroller. They're atop the Pacific Division. But when you look under the hood, they're not a team that plays playoff quality defense at all. They're being bailed out by their goalie Lucas Dostal on most nights. And so you say to yourself, all right, it looks good on paper, it looks good in the standings, but when push comes to shove, like, if the offense goes into a slump, are they cooked for 2 weeks because they can't keep the puck out of their net?
Interesting. I just, you know, with the Preds win last Friday in Sweden, Stamkos gets that, and they just seem that punch is there. They're feeling good. Then they drop an egg on Sunday. It's just, this hockey team is so hard to read. There's just really no buzz about them. And all you hear about is, like, they got a lot of talent. They're just not very good. And I know that's not exactly how they are, but that's a perception we get here about the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't checked into their numbers overall lately to see where they are. I kind of liked the effort in the games in Sweden. I think they could. I know they didn't get the result they wanted in the second one, but they could hold their heads high a little bit. You know, it's just like you said, when you look at the roster, especially with the way some of the veteran guys haven't necessarily, you know, kept up to the standards that they've had previously. And it's not just Stamkos. So, I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Brady Shea, for example, who hasn't played nearly as effectively as he has in different stops in his career. You know, like, overall, you look at the roster and you say to yourself, compared to the other teams that are currently in playoff positions or playing close to the bubble in the West, they're just not as good. And I think that's an argument that's hard to refute at this point.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So I'll ask it this way. Looking at where they are right now, you know, we've talked about Stamkos, that, you know, he doesn't have a Braden Point or a Kucherov on this team to set him up like he had in Tampa Bay. You know, Forsberg, I would say, kind of needs somebody like that too. So would it behoove the Predators to try and acquire a playmaking forward, albeit that's easier said than done, or based on the plan and everything that Barry has said to this point, does that not make sense and you just have to be patient and wait for the future?
I think it makes sense, but you know, you've got to find the right fit and the right player that's not going to, you know, ultimately cost you too many future assets to acquire them. You know, the Washington Capitals, to me, have become the model for what teams that are trying to, in the words of Barry Trotz, I guess, retool, you know, are trying to do. They went out and made some really smart acquisitions of guys that maybe their stock was a bit down. I mean, Dylan Strom was not a guy that was mentioned in the pantheon of number one centers in this league, but you look at what he's done for the Capitals since he's got there, and he's been exemplary on the offensive end. Granted, playing with Ovechkin certainly helps your numbers, but I mean, you know, he's kind of put up Nick Backstrom-esque numbers in some of these seasons that he's been in Washington. So, like, if you're able to identify players who can be effective playmakers that aren't currently, you know, in a number one spot, that aren't cost you a first round pick, like, go ahead and bring it onto the team, but you've got to be smart about it, because, you know, otherwise you might be throwing bad money after bad money, as they say in the business community. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the company's failing, don't reinvest in it. Unless you're a fake tree planting company with the LA Clippers, then I guess you just keep pouring money into it.
That works out. Greg, we have a saying around here. There's some legendary high school football programs that have been not good for a long time, but when they're good, Chase and I always say, it's always good for high school football when these teams are good. I look at the Detroit Red Wings, sitting at the top right now of the Atlantic. Is hockey better when the Red Wings are good?
It is, but I'll do you one better. And I don't think the fans in Nashville are going to like to hear this one, actually. But I used to think that Detroit being good was very important when they were in the West, because I think it's important to have a strong traditional hockey market in the West. So when you do have some of these teams that might not necessarily have the same kind of national appeal come into town and play on national television, you're going to get a huge local audience for those established teams, no matter what the other team is. And so Detroit always served that purpose really well back in the Lindstrom days and the Yzerman days. Now, since they've been in the East, the team that had to serve that purpose was the Chicago Blackhawks. So I'd say it's more encouraging to the NHL to have the Blackhawks all of a sudden be relevant again, thanks to Connor Bedard and thanks to the goaltending of Spencer Knight, because now all of a sudden, you know, when they play Vegas, when they play Edmonton, when they play Colorado, like, now that becomes an event where, you know, one of the biggest sports markets in the country, their team is playing good hockey again, and they have a young star. And there's going to be much more attention on those games than there would have been otherwise. So Detroit being good, it's great. It's my favorite uniform in hockey. I wish them well. But for the betterment of the league, I think it's more important to have Chicago going well again.
Greg, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski joins us, senior NHL writer from ESPN, every Thursday at 2 o'clock. And, of course, he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to some of that and much more live from the Omni today here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, where was this when we were talking about Rocky IV? That's what I always think about when I hear this song.
As you should, man.
Yeah. Apollo coming to the ring. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. I can't believe that next week's Thanksgiving.
Right?
So I just said to Greg Wyshynski, we'll talk to you next week. We won't.
Yeah. We won't. Unless he wants to hang out with us on...
He's got a newborn. I think he'll be busy.
I was looking to see what games, college football, we have tonight. And Butch Jones on ESPN tonight.
Oh.
Louisiana versus Arkansas State.
How is Arkansas?
Did you see him walk out a few weeks ago and he said, "Where's the crowd?" Did you see that? That was a big thing. He walked in and was like, "Where's the crowd?" And there's like nobody there at Arkansas State. And it's the fight that a lot of the group of five schools have. I mean, there's not going to be 60,000 people at the games. And you think Butch would know that because he's been at Arkansas State now since 21.
Well, isn't that why they've tried to do some of these weekday games?
Yeah.
To try and get more people?
Guess how much tickets are tonight at Louisiana at Arkansas State?
$8.
$9. Okay. Chase, we can afford that. We could get a couple of tickets together tonight. Butch Jones is 1-4, 2-4, 3-4, 4-4. He's 5-5. So big game tonight for Butch if he wants to get to the bowl. Arkansas State. So
I mean, he needs to just stay where he's at.
No, he needs to come back, man. We need more of his great motivational speeches.
Could you imagine if he ended up at like –
Arkansas? No. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, get him hired up there. You know, we were in Vegas last month, and we talked about these midweek games. And like, yeah, Middle Tennessee's playing all these Tennessee State, all these midweek games. And they're like, oh, yeah, we watch them all. They watch all these games. These games, there might not be 100 people these games, but the viewership for these midweek college football games are off the chart. I mean, you got millions watching these, and you know why. We all know why. I mean, there's a lot of the degenerates, like a few of our friends, are making wagers on those games. So it's really cool to see that the viewership is that high for those games.
Two things. How much did the Clark Lee extension news come out yesterday, or is it?
I haven't heard a wink about that.
Okay, well, he's got an extension.
Did he? So,
yeah.
When did that happen?
I guess it was earlier today then.
I don't see this anywhere, not even on the websites. I don't.
Well, it's been, I think the Tennessean has it. Yeah, I mean, there's a few. There's. I don't know if it's official, but it's been around.
No, so, I don't see
it. I don't know
anywhere.
If it's done yet, but I'm just
seeing.
Any
details on it?
I'm seeing rumors. Yeah. No details. I'm just seeing rumors.
Yeah, ESPN.com on their college football site, which is really good. There's nothing there.
All right. Well, maybe I jumped the gun there, so I apologize. But
maybe you got an email from
maybe.
Randy.
The second thing that I was going to bring up, do you know who the guest picker is for College Game Day?
So it is at Oregon, Dan Fouts.
Nope.
Is it that girl that's a popular? Is it a female?
No, I'm okay. Just going to tell you because I want to set this up.
All right,
Titans fans, it's your favorite, the one and only Marcus Mariota.
Oh, okay, so the Commanders must have an open wing man. Well, good for him. I mean, I don't know, you know, Dan Fouts, Phil Knight. I don't know who else, but good for him.
Yeah, I fell for something on Twitter, so there is no extension. So my bad.
You, of all people,
I know.
Who have never fallen for
it was
anything.
It was the text line and Twitter, so.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
misread, and then I misread a headline. It was just, it was all a failure. Rex Rhodes mad at me now. Like, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
All right, well, good.
Did he come out of hiding? Where is he?
He's around. He's always listening.
No, but you had a little tinge in your voice, like, you guys didn't do this yesterday?
And yeah, I was like, and then I was like, well, because it said one day ago, and then I'm like, oh, this.
No, I we should probably have read it yesterday.
This. Well, here's, I saw the text and then the tweet, and then I Google it, and it says Clark Lee extension, watch. What does that mean? And I'm like, oh, there it is.
Okay. All right.
And then I'm thinking as I'm going along, like, I feel like I would have heard about this.
Right.
Like, why isn't this?
Yeah.
And so that's why I asked you, and when you gave that answer, I'm like, oh, no.
I mean, we scour those things hourly, minutely to see what's going on, and that would have come up big time about him getting – now, the thing is, you expect that
I think
to happen.
He will.
Yeah.
I think hey, he will. Phil, that is not nice. But, yes, I did
– What's the one, like Bobby West? What's the guy's name on Twitter that gets
everybody? Oh, yeah,
everybody.
And I'm really good about that, so I'm mad at myself now.
So what I do is when I get that, I always text you and Ricky and say, did you see this? What's going on? And you guys are like, oh, that's a fake account, because they'll get you all the time. I mean, we talked the other day about the Shiano search and all the falsities that were happening there, and we laughed about it. Like, just be careful because you never, ever, ever know.
Yep.
Then the joke became, well, he's got a blue check mark.
Yeah, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it means nothing.
You got to be extra careful.
Right, that goes on. So,
but it, like, you know it's good when you're getting a text from Rex Road saying, WTF are you talking about?
Gosh. Sorry, Joe, man.
What the fart? I just, yeah, it happens to the best of us. You don't do this job, you know, for many, many years without getting got at something.
Well, it's real time. You're doing a radio show. You're reading stuff coming in. You're trying to put what I say aside, and then we're talking Butch Jones, and then all that goes on. So you stop my Butch Jones talk, man.
Fart you, no, I won't do what you tell me.
Probably not. That goes on. So, yeah. So, we got football tonight. And, of course, senior day for Vanderbilt against Kentucky on Saturday. I'm looking really forward to the game. 2:30 game, ESPN, a lot of eyeballs.
Their next two games are 2:30.
It's a big
Tennessee game.
But let's worry about Kentucky, man. Yep. This game tremendously worries me.
Oh.
Not because I think Vanderbilt will fall to Vanderbilt of old, but this Kentucky team could wreck a season on Saturday.
Is this the T word?
No, I don't think it's no. I think those would come early in the season.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm with you because it's like Vandy is in a situation that they have never been in ever, and may never be again until we see it. Yeah. And that is, they truly control their own destiny. I mean, they're going to have some help. But, like, if they all they got to do is win out, and then who knows what's going to happen. And I'm scared to death that they're going to step on their shoestring and trip at some
point. Well, we went over the Oklahoma schedule, the Utah schedule, the BYU schedule, and what has to happen. And it's still possible. But if Vanderbilt loses, none of it's possible. So you just take care of the business on your own. Hopefully you get some help. You know, Oklahoma's got to play Missouri. I don't think Oklahoma beats Missouri on Saturday. I don't. And so there's a three-loss team for Oklahoma. Vanderbilt get up 10-2. Problem is, if Texas goes and upsets Texas A&M at 9-3, they take Texas over Vanderbilt at 10-2. And your boy Herb Street's going to get on there and talk about how Texas deserves it and all of the nonsense and hope we can mute him and shut him up and all the other stuff. But there are some things that have to happen.
He's not my boy, but I do, like, I think he does a good job.
He's your boy, big time. So what happens if Vanderbilt loses one of their games? It's done. But if they win and get a little help, man, anything is possible. They could squeeze in the college football playoff. But these teams got to lose. Texas got to lose to A&M. Oklahoma's got to lose another game. Utah's got to get beat by either, I think they play Kansas or Kansas State lose. BYU plays Cincinnati or UCF. They got to lose. Get them out of there.
Well, next week, every Vanderbilt fan probably needs to learn a phrase, and that is War Eagle. I mean, there's no question. Like, Auburn needs to beat Alabama.
But I still think at 9-3, Bama gets it over 10-2 Vandy. I still
head to head.
I still think that they look at that.
Yeah,
and then they're going and Herb Street's going to go on and say how Bama deserves it more than Vandy.
Stop picking on Herb Street.
I'm always going to pick on him because we did the Florida State 2 years ago.
He's got cute dogs.
So you had a cute dog. I had a cute dog. No. Does it make any difference? Jake's got a cute dog. Jakey baby.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So, right. Yeah.
There you go.
So just I'd let it play out on the field and don't try to wield your influence anyhow somehow. I don't like that. Stay away.
Okay. All right, we'll come back with more, and hopefully I won't get duped again. Chasing Big Joe on this Thursday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Eddie Murphy bringing us back here on this Thursday at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our question of the day earlier in the show, Joe, we had a lot of answers to this.
Our question, if the Titans were a chain restaurant, what chain restaurant would they be? 615-737-1025. If the Titans were a chain restaurant, which chain restaurant would they be? And the responses were
I feel like Crystal got the most.
Yes. Looks good from afar.
Yeah.
You test it out a little bit, and you're sick to your stomach.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Crystal, especially if you've grown up in the South, is a staple. Especially if you're once were a college student at 2:30 in the morning, it soaks it all up.
It's the best. The absolute best.
Yeah.
Used to be one in Donaldson. It's gone now, which broke my heart. But I don't even know. I think there's a Crystal in Lebanon. Is there another Crystal anywhere else? I know there's one in Lebanon.
There's one on Charlotte Pike by my house.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Glad to stop by my house. I'd stop all that. I mean,
It has been and I hate doing that, and I'm better about it now because I'm getting older and, like, more cognizant of, you know, being healthier.
Yeah.
But, like, there have been times where, like, if I work late and I'm hungry at, like, 10 o'clock at night that I've swung through there, and I don't.
Could you get?
I don't know.
Proud of you.
But, you know.
Just go eat an apple and go to bed.
Yeah. Basically.
So, you know how many times I've had that, like, I'm not going to stop, and I stop. It's like Crystal has a tractor beam that just pulls you in. If you look at it, they pull you in, and you're, next thing you know, you've got a 10 bag of crystals, which is easy to eat.
If you're trying to cut cravings, apple cider vinegar shot, or just chew some gum.
Apple cider vinegar shot?
Yeah.
No, can't do that.
Every morning.
Huh. Okay.
Like well, a shot. Like you pour a shot of that every morning.
Yeah, get a tablespoon of it or just get a shot glass of it and just take it back.
Where do you learn some of these things?
Right.
My uncle and just a lot of things online. I do my own kind of investigating.
Okay.
You're like a walking farmer's almanac.
You really are. Like, you have.
What kind of win are we going to have?
Hey, you can also do olive oil. It helps your skin out.
Yeah.
Helps your scalp?
Skin.
Skin.
Oh.
I've heard that one.
Okay.
Well, and you know, like if you're, like this time of year when sickness is going around, your voice is kind of, singers do this, broadcasters do this. I've been told this before. You gargle whiskey. You don't swallow it. You gargle it and then spit it out.
Really?
And it helps the vocal cords.
So my grandmother told me to swallow it.
Yeah, well.
The worst.
I guess you could. But.
In between her dropping cigarette ashes into the breakfast in the morning and yelling at me. Yeah. But that's been an old staple. Honey oil, like honey and whiskey and all that.
Well, like a hot toddy.
Hot toddy.
Did you ever have a hot toddy? Yeah.
So. More than once.
That's a southern remedy, I would say.
Yes, it is. More than once.
Let's see. David James said Captain D's.
Why? I like Captain D's.
I like Captain D's.
Yeah. David James is probably hungry. Like, I don't know.
Let's see. 2765 says Golden Corral. A lot to eat, but nothing tastes good.
That's really good, man.
Hey, Lenny might have won. Losers.
It is a chain,
it's
I guess,
a local
right?
chain. Jason in Clarksville says Denny's.
There's only one Denny's right in Dixon. Is that what we're told? And there's one in Kentucky, but not like one around here.
Adam in Portland, we are Dairy Queen without the ice cream, just cheese, curds, and garbage.
I always wonder why people stop by Dairy Queen to get something besides ice cream.
The Tasty Freeze, known for soft serve ice cream. Emphasis on soft.
That's a good one.
People are telling us where the crystals are.
Yes, please let me know.
There's one in Hendersonville. Oh. We just had a caller.
Yeah. Todd in Gallatin says, crystal in Goodlettsville, Hendersonville, and Gallatin, and then sends us a picture.
Yes!
Of him. Are those cheese crystals? Those are good.
God, have oh, man. Now I want one. I want about 8 of those.
Yeah. Taco Bell. You know, that joke tells itself.
I mean, if they put
Taco Bell.
If they put Crystal Burgers at a quarter, you'd sell out. Right? I don't know. They're like 99 cents now or whatever. But if you put a quarter, we would eat them, like, those things nonstop. So there you go. I'll be marketing manager for Crystal. And then, like, hey, we got record profits. Well, you're welcome.
I mean, it look, people still know it.
What's your dumb comfort food?
Chinese food.
So good, right?
Yeah. Like, I love China. So, true story, and if Ricky's listening, he can back this up. When we were in Vegas, staying in a beautiful luxury hotel, we ate at the same Asian restaurant 3 straight nights.
You should. It's good.
And it was fantastic.
Right.
There's something about, I don't know, there's something about a casino and Chinese food.
We did it in Albany.
Just kind of goes together. We did it in Albany. Yeah, you're right. It just goes together.
I love it. It's good.
Here's the one you said earlier. Scott and Waverly, Chick-fil-A because they're not open on Sunday.
Yes. I finally had something funny to say once.
Brian says Taco Bell, only enjoyable when drunk.
That's par for the course, man.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. Great participation on that.
It really is.
It is. We appreciate it. Hey, we're excited tomorrow. Jordan Tutu is going to join the show. His obviously, this is perfect for us because Jordan has been very open about his battles with mental health and depression, and he's been sober for over a decade now. You know, his brother's struggles and everything, and there's now a movie about this and about his life that he's going to tell us about tomorrow. He's going to be in Smashville coming up Saturday night. So looking forward to talking to him, one of the most popular Predators players of all time.
Yes.
And one of our favorites.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
He was early in my career, was extremely kind to me. And, you know, he knew our buddy Dave Hall, the late, great Dave Hall, very well. So it'll be cool to talk to Toots, as they call him, again.
Yeah, I still have the jersey. I got the whistle,
yep, the whistle
from him. And he is my all-time favorite Nashville Predator player because he was just – he stood up for his teammates, man. And that was beautiful.
He is a good, good man, that is for sure. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. But coming up next, what day is it and celebrity birthdays? Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Our favorite. The mayor of Omni, Todd, is in the house as well. So we always appreciate when he comes by.
He is mayor.
He is.
Runs unopposed like 18 years in a row.
Yeah, that is true. So we'll be at Side Piece tomorrow. So looking forward to that, a new place. So excited to go check that out and be there as the Chase and Big Joe World Tour continues.
It's on 2nd Avenue, right? Is that where we gathered downtown? Yep. So be a lot of fun, man. Big weekend ahead. A lot of things going on. Looking forward to it. Grateful for the journey.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, first on the list, we have Beautiful Day today. So, yeah, that is what is here. Future Teachers of America Day. Let's see, Globally Organized Hug a Runner Day. Interesting. Great American Smokeout Day. Always love that.
Now, is that to stop smoking cigarettes or cooking out?
It is to stop lung cancer. So
yeah. Okay. Right. But that just reminded me of the day that we had the Great American Meat Out Day.
Yeah.
Right?
That too.
Nick almost got arrested.
Name your PC day is today. Name your PC day is today. So, personal computers. National Absurdity Day. Let's see.
That's this show every day.
Right?
Next on the list is National Rural Health Day. It's celebrated on the third Thursday of November. Interesting. Let's see. Social Enterprise Day. World Pancreatic Cancer Day is today. World Children's Day. Use Less Stuff Day, and last but not least, gentlemen, National Peanut Butter Fudge Day.
Oh, nice. Absolutely.
I want to say, I feel like you're editing these some.
No, not at all.
Okay.
There's a couple on here that I will not name because I would like to keep my job, so.
Oh, but see, those are the best ones.
Well, yesterday was it yesterday's World Zinfandel Day?
Yes, it was. It was the annual Zinfandel Day.
That might be the funniest moment on this show. Zinfandel.
I mean, there is one I am leaving out. It's a wine. It's called, it's like a French word. Beaujolais Nouveau Day. I don't know.
I think that was pretty close, actually.
Beaujolais Nouveau Day. I'm not French. I'm Italian.
Okay, that's fine.
That's not bad.
Right?
You did good.
Nobody expects you to get it dead on, but
well,
you're good.
I expect a lot.
I'm not French. I'm Italian. Like that. Oh, okay. Like you get a pass.
I do.
All right. Time for celebrity birthdays.
That's the name of your book.
You got to get these birthdays within two.
Captain hat on.
Celebrity birthdays brought to you by possibly you.
Together at CromwellMedia.com. Ask for Sean.
All right. Here we go. First birthday on the list. How old is, Chase, you go first, Joe Walsh from the Eagles? Oh. Joe Walsh.
We just talked to Vince Gill about Joe Walsh.
78 exactly. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Bo Derek. Do you even know who Bo Derek is?
Yes.
All right, how old is Bo Derek?
I'm going to go with 73 because she was in Tommy Boy, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah.
That's not a bad guess, but. I'm going to say 64.
69.
Nice.
Chase, you go. Joel McHale was in the TV show Community. He's been to a bunch of other things. Joel McHale.
58.
56.
54. Dr. Crane's on the board. 2-1. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Dierks Bentley, our good friend Dierks Bentley.
I want Dierks on the show.
Well, then
we got to make that happen. Dierks, if you're listening, please come on our show.
I feel like he's a fringe late 40s, early 50s. I'm going to go 47.
48.
49. Dr. Crane got priced right in there. 3-1, Chase. Chase, you have to go now. How old is Joe Biden, Chase? Today's Joe Biden's birthday.
The former president is 82.
84.
83, that's a push.
Yeah, that is a push.
Chase up 3-1. All right, how old, Dr. Crane, did you go? How old is singer Norman Greenbaum? He sang Spirit in the Sky.
71.
That's what I'm going to do on my imaginary keyboard here. 77.
What'd you say, Dick?
71.
83. Wrong on that one. Chase, you go broadcast journalist Judy Woodruff. How old is Judy Woodruff today?
Married to Bob Woodruff?
Incorrect.
Okay. 72. 77. 79.
Dr. Crane's on the boards. 3-2 now. This is getting good. Here we go. Dr. Crane, you go. Sean Young, Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura. How old is Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura?
63.
65.
66. Chase is up 4-2. Chase, you go. Rapper Mike D of the Beastie Boys.
58. 59.
Nice. 4-3 now. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Rapper Sin Dog of Cypress Hill.
Wait, 4-3. 63. That's a good guess. 57.
60. You guys right in the middle of that. Chase, you get to go. Country singer Josh Turner.
46.
52.
48. That's Chase Point. He's up 5-3. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. How old is Mark Gastineau from the New York Sack Exchange?
73.
63.
69. Chase, you go. Carlos Boozer, former NBA star.
Went to Duke?
That's correct.
47.
49.
44. And last one here, Dr. Crane. They're from Mount Juliet, but the bass player from Kings of Leon, Jared Followill. Or they're Oklahoma, moved to Mount Juliet. There's a Mount Juliet connection somewhere.
They're from here. They're from there. They've been around.
How old is he? It's his last chance. You're down 5-3.
I'm going to go 43.
44.
He's 39. Chase wins 5-3. Good try, Dr. Crane. You did.
You did
effort.
A good job.
Valiant
Not bad.
Effort.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Great
you
job,
good
Chase.
Job. Thank you for everybody with your kind words today when we were talking about kind of how we do a show. We got a few texts that were very, very nice, so we appreciate that. We have fun every day and try to – make the world a little bit better.
We do. Many thanks to Scott Hamilton. His event, again, is on Sunday, 4 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena. Go. I'm telling you, go. It is beautiful. It's cool. And like we said earlier, you just shut out the outside world for a few hours and see these amazing skaters at Bridgestone. That's Sunday afternoon. So please go and do that. As we leave every show, every time to our guys out there, we tell you all the time that we love you. If you're struggling, going through something, please reach out, talk to somebody. We have all the information on our page, so please go look at it. You can contact any of us at any time if you need to talk. We tell you all the time that our world is a better place because you are here, and there's people who love you. There's people, when they think about you, they smile. There's people who love to see you. Know that, those people in your life. So no matter whatever you're going through, man, you got this, and we're here for you. Remember, we love you, more importantly, more than anything else in this world. God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming your way next. Barry Trotz at 4 o'clock today. Elliot Friedman at 5. You won't want to miss it. That is all ahead. And then we're back at it from the side piece at noon tomorrow on 102.5 The Game.